tweet at Today SOR.
It's reported in the Farmers' Journal and in today's Irish Independent that Britain has upped the ante in the battle over the Brexit backstop by threatening to favour Brazilian beef over Irish using a system of tariffs and quotas. There are fears that this could place a huge burden on the Irish beef industry. Meanwhile, accusations of anti-competitive practices and low pricing, a major row over what's known as the Four Movement Rule, and then just this week, as we say, confirmation from the British government that they will apply tariffs on food imports in a no-deal Brexit, all of which could damage the multi-billion euro beef trade here more than perhaps any other sector. It's a perfect storm then for beef farmers around the country. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Cormac Healy, the Senior Director of Meat Industry Ireland. But first, I'm joined on the line now by Dermot O'Brien, the Beef Plan Movement's County Chair for Kerry. That's a breakaway movement, grassroots movement, which has grown to a membership of more than 17,000 in recent months, and it has the aim of reaching 40,000 members in due course. Just to recall, RT's Sean McAsheehy went along to a Beef Plan meeting earlier this month in Castle Island in County Kerry, and we can hear now just a short example of some of the anger that was evident there about what's called the rotten greed, as it was put, in the beef industry.
Because our beef industry is greed, rot, greed. I want a fair price and I'm not getting it.
The farmer has absolutely no power whatsoever.
The price we're taking doesn't meet our costs. So we're actually slaves on our own farms.
Now, that was just, as I say, an extract. If anybody who saw that on the 9 o'clock news, Sean McAsheehy's report, will remember it clearly, I suspect. But I want to say good morning now to Dermot O'Brien. Good morning to you, Dermot. You're the Beef Plan Movement's County Chair for Kerry, yeah?
That's correct, Sean. Good morning to you and thank you for having me on your programme this morning.
Just explain what the Beef Plan Movement is.
The Beef Plan Movement, Sean, has been set up by a number of beef farmers in County Meath to address different obstacles and different everyday problems that beef farmers experience. So it was set up by beef farmers to help ordinary beef farmers at grassroots level. And they created an 86-point plan, okay, a document which addresses all these different problems, such as anti-competitive practices and so on and so forth. So at the moment, we have over 17,000 members. It is growing very steadily. The movement was set up in October, and I suppose it was born really out of frustration by many, many, many suckler farmers and beef finishers throughout the country. So that's basically where we're at.
Yes, and it is. I mean, I've had a quick read of the document. It is a very detailed one, setting out many phases of your progress that you want to see. But in the short term, you've got a basic problem, I think, is that you're not able to make money from rearing cattle.
Yeah, you see, I suppose the beef processors in this country, they have a monopoly in the market. And, you know, we've many anti-competitive practices which help them to be dominant in the marketplace. I suppose one of the main things really is that a lot of cattle that are being sent to factories at the minute are coming from factory-controlled feedlots. So, and that figure was up to 20% last year. It may even be more. So in a situation like that, farmers are price takers. They have to accept that, you know, if cattle are being taken from feedlots, there's a control on supply. So, for example, this morning there are many farmers throughout this country who are sheds full of finishing bulls. They have nowhere to go with them. They're not being taken by the factories. And if they are to be taken by the factories, they have to take a certain price and that's it. So that's a monopoly. It can happen. The Beef Plan Movement is trying to address this. Farmers on the ground recognise this, they can identify with it, and they know that we're trying to do a job. We're there to represent the ordinary man, the ordinary beef farmer of Ireland, so please come
but
behind
us.
But
is that not exactly what the IFA has been doing for years, decades?
Well, to be fair, the IFA have at ground level, they have some wonderful people operating at parish level, parish branches, and so on and so forth, but there seems to be an issue where they failed to represent some of their members. And we've seen very lately where there was an article published where a PQ had been answered by Michael Creed that there was some private arrangement between meat factories and the IFA for some anti-competitive practices. One of those being the Four Movement Rule.
Just explain that now to people who wouldn't know or be familiar with farming.
Yeah, a Four Movement Rule, okay, would say if a calf is born on my farm this morning, and I decide to sell that calf to my neighbour, that is one movement, and that is recorded on the AIM system, on recorded on the Department of Agriculture, CMMS. That's one movement. Okay? If the farmer that buys that calf from me decides to go to a mart to sell it on in 6 months' time, that is a second movement. So during the course of an animal's life, they may be moved once, twice, three times, four times. But if that animal is quality assured and a farmer has that animal finished to kill it, once he gets to three or four movements, he has no option or she has no option but to take that animal to the factory. There's only one end route for that animal, and that is an Irish factory. So that is an anti-competitive practice. It's a limitation on the animal's movement. The farmer has no freedom to go where he wants or wherever they want with that animal. They can't sell it four times, five times, six times. So in a situation like that, a lot of the mats around this country, the rural mats, are suffering because the big, strong, fit factory, fit cattle are not being sold in these mats.
I know, but now, in fairness, the IFA have described what Minister Creed said in that parliamentary question reply to Michael Healy-Ray. They've described that as highly misleading and incorrect description on the part of the minister. But in any event, it's just one of the factors that you believe is inhibiting farmers getting a decent price, along with the feedlots.
And there are many more.
One or two, because I want to bring in Cormac Clancy now, Cormac Healy in a few minutes.
Yeah. I'll give you one other example. There's a 125-kilometre limit on the movement of Category 1 offal. So when animals are killed in Irish factories, or even in abattoirs, okay, and there's a lot of small abattoirs operating throughout Ireland and smaller meat processors, they have to sell their offal, or they have to have their offal moved under licence, and they cannot, there's a limit on that, it's 125 kilometres, so they cannot go beyond that. So certain facilities are taking that offal at a price. Now, it's also known as the fifth quarter.
Right, yeah. But look, all of this is obviously important to you and to others, and but at the same time, you're looking at a Brexit disaster facing the industry if these tariffs are imposed on Irish beef, and your problems will pale into total insignificance, will they not?
Look, Sean, the decision we made to place import taxes and tariffs on Irish beef, that's a diplomatic insult, okay? And addressing this here this morning, it's a futile exercise. Look, if 27 member states align themselves to try and counteract any fallouts or difficulties as a result of Brexit, and they're unable to control matters or contain this, what hope are we doing that?
Yes.
If 27 member states have failed.
But if Britain is outside the European Union, if there is a no-deal Brexit, they can do what they want.
That's true.
We
are their nearest trade neighbours. Okay? There's 60 million mouths to be fed over there. They're not going to let our people starve. We export 250,000 tonnes of beef into the UK every year. 80% of our beef that we produce here in Ireland is going to the UK. They're not going to allow that to happen.
Well, if they can get it from Brazil or from Paraguay or from Uruguay or wherever else, they have far cheaper options, don't they?
They don't, because we're selling Irish beef. The meat processors in this country, who are in a dominant position, are able to sell Irish beef in the European market 20% cheaper than Brazilian beef. Okay, that's on the European market.
So, yeah, but you know why that is, don't you? It's because there's levies on Brazilian beef.
And another thing, Sean, our beef is a world-class product. It's a grass-fed, healthy, antibiotic-free product.
Right. Just
and
one last question to you.
McDonald's is part of that program going forward. They want antibiotic-free beef. Now, we have a very stringent, rigorous quality assurance program in this country. Board, we are on top of that job, and we are striving for that.
That's obviously what people hope will provide some insurance against things going completely wrong. For just one last question to you: do you believe that somehow the IFA is letting down members like you on the basis that maybe levies are collected by the meat plants and passed on then to the IFA? Is that part of your problem?
Well, a lot of the people who have come in behind the beef plan movement out of that belief, okay? And a lot of the ordinary farmers out there in Ireland who, to be fair, are members of the IFA, they feel very let down now because of the recent revelations. Very let down. Now, I have nothing against IFA. I am actually...
You do, really?
No, I don't. I would like them to come behind the Beef Plan movement. We have a very, very good 86-pound plan, which does address a lot of the problems that we have in the industry. We would like to see the IFA, along with all the other farming organisations, and if Minister Creed, if you're listening out there this morning, we want you to include us in any future forums. Any future forums relating to the beef industry, we want to be included in this because we represent the small farmer, we represent the beef farmers of Ireland, and dairy farmers are also producers of beef. Not alone suckler men, beef, dairy men are in there as well. So we represent all those people. So, Minister Creed, if you're listening, we want to be included.
Okay, well, look, I'm sure you've made that point directly to him by way of letter or whatever. But look, you've laid out your case. Dermot O'Brien, thank you very much indeed. Spokesperson for the Beef Plan movement. Now, as I say, with me as well, Cormac Healy, Senior Director of Meat Industry Ireland. You didn't want to engage directly with Dermot O'Brien, but you've heard his complaints there. You have a dominant position, and he's mentioned several aspects to it, not least these big, if you like, locations where you have your own feeding arrangements made. So in other words, you can schedule the throughput of cattle for slaughter.
Good morning, Sean. I suppose, firstly, in a point that you made yourself in the context of where we are today, 5 weeks away from a critical impact on the beef sector in Ireland and the entire agri-food sector in the context of Brexit and what might come out of that, that's really where our focus is at, is where Meat Industry Ireland's focus is at and the industry's focus. And I clearly would like to kind of engage and talk a little bit about that in a minute. But just to deal with some of those points that were raised. I suppose, you know, the first thing I would say in relation to the movements issue, let's just deal with that.
It's the four movements.
The four movements. The actual requirement is there. It's part of a bonus system that individual processors will pay a bonus for animals that meet particular market specifications. And there are a number of them. The four residencies, as we describe it, that an animal would not be on more than four farms in the course of its life, is just one of those. It's there because customers in the UK, in Europe, require these kind
and
of provisions.
And is that a
provisions.
Private arrangement made and, by yourselves and IFA?
Absolutely not. It's part. It was something that was introduced back 10 years ago, and it's a pity that, you know, today, as I said, 5 months out from 5 weeks out from a critical Brexit issue for the sector, that we're talking about something that was introduced 10 years ago, was highly communicated and published. But I think the point in relation to it too, Sean, is that, as has been reported in the journal today, over 85% of animals meet the criteria anyway. This is not something that is excluding,
it is
voluntary.
These feedlots, in relation to feedlots,
again, the information is misleading. I think Dermot referred to 20%. Our best understanding in relation to cattle that are processed by Irish meat processors, less than 5% of those come from feedlots that are owned by the companies themselves. So it's quite a small percentage of the overall mix. And they have that there for security of supply at particular times of the year.
And how do you
The figure of 20% is inaccurate. And it refers to a lot of herds out there that have feedlots status, as the Department of Agriculture would describe it, purely to facilitate their own trading arrangements in terms of buying in and selling animals if they are restricted because of TB, if they fail a TB test or whatever. It's there to facilitate them. So
what do you feed them?
Well, these animals are principally fed on silage. I mean, a herd can be, you know, a feedlot status can be to a herd that animals are out grazing as well, and principally on silage. So, I mean, but the figures that have been talked about are misleading. And as far as the suggestion that the Irish industry could be selling beef at 20% less than Brazil or South American exporters in the European market. The price today in Brazil for cattle is the equivalent of €2.16. In Uruguay, it's €2.70. The price today in Ireland for steers is, on average, it's €3.85. For heifers, it's €4. So there's no question that these countries can supply beef at very, very competitive rates.
So what is your... What is your response to, for instance, the British Environmental Secretary and the man in charge of agriculture, Michael Gove, saying, yes, there will be tariffs?
Well, I suppose the first thing, Sean, is, I mean, we have from the outset, in relation to the beef industry and the wider meat industry, highlighted the impact that Brexit can have. I mean, it is a fracture of the single market, so there were always going to be potential trade consequences. In terms of what's come out this week, I suppose there's a lot of speculation. I suppose we haven't seen yet what the British government will actually adopt in terms of its tariff approach. That hasn't been decided by the UK government yet. What we are still hoping for and pushing for is an orderly exit here. And I know that is becoming more challenging by the day, clearly, in terms of developments in London. But, you know, it is still the only way that we can get through this process with the minimum of disruption. We have, as an industry, said that if we end up in a no-deal scenario, as we're looking at the moment, and the UK applies tariffs, then it will have a critical impact. The tariffs can be the equivalent of 60% on top of the cost of product. And the only mechanism that we can see as an industry is that there is some sort of tariff stabilisation or tariff support mechanism brought in to offset that. After all, the money is being taken out of the agri sector.
In other words, direct payments to farmers?
Direct payments to the sector. I mean, if it's channeled, if it's channeled through the industry in support of product that is going into the UK market, our key principle here is that after decades of building up the UK market, we want to be able to continue to supply it and not lay the market open to other competitors. And if tariffs come in, then that's a real impediment to doing that, and we need support to offset those.
An estimate of the number of jobs that might be at risk in the beef sector?
Well, I mean, in the overall processing sector, there's 15,000 jobs directly. There's, you know, upwards of 100,000 farmers in one way or another connected with the beef industry, and many indirect downstream jobs in logistics and transport, etc. The reality, Sean, is if tariffs were to come in and we were to lose the UK market, we will see plant closures and job losses. I mean, it's unsustainable to think that we can do without the UK market.
What about maintaining your supply to the European mainland? Because, you know, if you've got to use Landbridge, well, then you could all have all sorts of delays. We've heard frequently about, you know, the tailbacks that could be out of Dover and so forth. So what about getting that product to market?
Yes, and certainly since the turn of the year, since January, our European customers have become very focused on this issue and are talking to us about security of supply and confidence in meeting delivery schedules. We have concerns that the land bridge, which is extensively used for food moving to the continent from Ireland, in the context of a no Brexit, will be severely disrupted. And we don't believe that there is sufficient capacity there at this point in time to automatically take product to go direct from Ireland to the continent. We are talking to government and impressing on them that we need to work with them to try to get some emergency contingency capacity for direct shipping from Ireland to the continent and work with them to achieve that, so that we don't sacrifice European customers on the table of Brexit as well as the challenges in the UK.
But I'm just wondering, and you talked about the 100,000 farmers, has the industry, and again what we heard from Dermot O'Brien, that the farmers are basically they're price takers at this stage, has the industry, yourselves, have you left farmers vulnerable to Brexit more so than they perhaps should have been with, you know, if they had got more support? I mean, just to read a text here, as a beef farmer, the feedlots are the problem for competition in beef. The only time beef farmers got a decent price was when the factories had scarcity, and now because of their own beef lots, there's never a scarce supply.
Market is based on supply and demand, Sean. There's no question about that. There was no monopoly or there was no issue when the price, you know, was at 4.40 in the middle of last year, when the markets allowed to deliver it. The price today is back on where it was this time last year. It's about 5-6% down on this time last year. But it's market related in terms of very strong supplies in Europe that have taken place in the latter part of last year and are feeding into this year. And there's quite an amount of stock in the system. It's an ongoing market situation that is impacting on the price. But it's 6% off where it was this time last year. It hasn't collapsed. It is challenging, clearly, at the moment, but I mean, it is market related.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. My thanks to you for coming in, Cormac Healy, Senior Director of Meat Industry Ireland, and thanks as well to Dermot O'Brien from the Beef Plan Movement earlier on. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.